Everybody, Pete Gluzek here, Bass University TV, and I'm here with my good friend Seth Fider, fresh back from banging darts, and we're going to be talking about the Tokyo Ring. Fresh off the Bassmaster Elite, you guys are about halfway through the season right now.
It seems like.
Yeah, you got a lot more water, and we're heading up north,
fishing
milfoil lakes, fishing some smallmouth. Got to be excited about that.
I'm jacked for the next two. And St. Clair's going to be really fun, too. We're going there really late this year.
Like, yeah.
Actually, the tournament ends in October. It's the last few days of September into October. So
wow.
That's the latest I've ever been there. So I think it'll be fun. Like, big fish, I think. They should be pretty fat by then.
Are they, when you go to St. Clair, are they blocking it off? Can you go to Erie? Can you go to Huron?
No, just St. Clair.
Just St. Clair?
Yeah. That's typically, the last couple times I've been there, I've stayed in St. Clair the whole time.
Okay.
So I'm okay with that. And, it makes it, takes a lot, I kind of like it, you know what I mean? You don't have in the back of your head, should I be on Erie, should I be on Huron? It's like, you don't have a choice for fishing St. Clair, and that's where we're going to be.
I've been in that situation a million times. Yeah. It's like, if you did, Erie was where it was won, and if you didn't practice there, then you're out. You got no chance to win.
Yeah.
So I really like the fact that you guys are going to be all competing on the same field, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think that's really cool, except for October, man. You can get some of them early storms coming through.
Oh, it's going to be windy.
Yeah.
For sure. We're going to have waves, but the smallmouths like waves.
And, yeah.
I think it'll be fun.
Well, St. Clair.
Big bags, I think.
Do you think it's going to fish differently? Like in the summertime, on St. Clair, it's, a lot of tubes, drop shot kind of thing. You think some of that, like cranking or some of that good power techniques will play?
Definitely. Typically when I went there, I pretty much just locked a drop shot in my hand and fished a little grass. Subtleties and stuff like that, but I think this year or later in the year, I think cranking for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Top water could be good, like big spook style baits and soft and hard jerk baits, and maybe even spinner bait bite could be pretty killer.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's smallmouth spinner, but that's gonna be a great tournament to
watch.
It's
gonna be fun. Yeah.
I can't wait to watch that one.
I'm hoping they're a little more grouped up come that time here. Because every time I've been there, it's kind of been mid to early summer where it's kind of real scattered fish, you'll find an area you like, but it'll be maybe a 1 square mile area where that's what drives me nuts about that lake. Like I like having like throw right there and catch one kind of deal.
Right.
I'm hoping later in the year they'll get a little more congregated on more specific stuff, hopefully, rather than, it seems like in the summer when I go there, just kind of roaming around in that sparse grass and sand mix, and hopefully that time of year they get a little more keyed in on something specific.
Man, I tell you, that's going to be a great show. I can't wait to see it because you're going to, I've seen it. A lot of people haven't, where top waters or spinner baits or swim baits high in the water column.
Swim bait
and you see those footballs just rise behind them and start fighting for the baits. It's that time of year.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And like I said, you're getting close to winter at that place in the country, and fish are going to be really bulking up, putting the feed on. So
their metabolism they just feed. And
I'm assuming you're going to see a lot of, I just can say a lot, but a fair amount of like 25 plus pound bags.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's amazing. Well, you're going to see that on Thousand Eye or St. Lawrence River.
Two,
and of course Cayuga is on the list. And early season, I heard 30-pound bags coming out of there this year.
Out of Cayuga?
Out of Cayuga.
Really?
In buddy tournaments. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, they keep getting bigger there too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a healthy lake. Got a lot of grass in it. That does, it does wonders for a lake, especially largemouth.
Well, we're here. We're going to be talking about a technique that, of course, I've seen Ike give some seminars on it, and John Cruz. And I've talked to you a little bit about it and how you use it, but it's called the Tokyo Rig. Have you been fishing this a long time?
Not super long, probably about a little over 2 years.
Okay.
Whenever I first got the prototypes from BMC, I started putting it to work.
Well, tell me a little bit about it. What makes it unique and what's helping you catch fish with it?
It's just a different look. It's basically a heavy-duty drop shot. If I can tear one of these out of here. All right, I'm in.
You're in.
Kinda. Okay. So here's your basic Tokyo rig. These are two new options this year. The original one came with an extra wide gap style hook on it. Now we have them in a straight shank flipping hook and a old school round bend. But anyways, the Tokyo rig's the same regardless of the hook. You got a sealed ring, swivel, and then a metal dropper, versus if you're tying up a drop shot, you'd have fluorocarbon down there. But that metal dropper does a lot. It makes it a lot more rigid and really keeps that bait up, even under like slack line, you know what I mean? Or a regular drop shot, you give it slack, it's gonna fall to the bottom. So, and it makes it a lot easier to fish in cover when you're throwing, like, because of that rigid wire. When you're fishing with like a fluoro drop, it's always getting going around the grass, twisting around branches and stuff like that. And then you set the hook, the fish jumps, it wraps, ties your line in knots. You don't have any of that issues with the metal dropper. But that's your basic Tokyo rig. You can add weight on the bottom end, and then I just put a little bend in the wire, just enough to keep that weight from falling off, and super customizable, any size weight you want to put on it. But it's been a really killer technique for me for the last couple of years.
Tell me about that. Like, what baits are you using, and what applications? What type of habitat you throwing this at?
Okay, there's about two ways I fish it. One is kind of the traditional way, the way it was made to be fished, and I believe that is deeper, submerged vegetation, your milfoil, your coontail, stuff like that that grows out a little bit deeper. That's the way I fish it 9 times out of 10. Then I'm putting on, typically I'll flip a tube or a beaver style, cross style bait on the back of it. And I keep it in place a lot more than I would like a jig or a Texas rig. That's something I'd kind of like hop through the grass and work it around. This I'll kind of pitch in there and just kind of shake my slack a lot more like a traditional drop shot. But it's killer on like pressured fish,
Right.
They call them scrapes down south, whatever you want to call them. It's a something underneath the grass that's holding a school of fish there.
Okay.
Needle in the haystack kind of stuff. It might be as small as, that table over there, little areas, but the lake I fish the most is Minnetonka, and it gets grass flipped a lot. You're in a line going down the grass fishing behind guys. And when, you go to some places that don't get the pressure, you can catch those fish plain and easy on a jig or a Texas rig. But when you're the fifth, sixth guy that's gone through that school, they get really smart to that kind of stuff. And that's where the Tokyo rigs shine best for me. And I think it came out of Japan, Lake Biwa. I mean, that's the same deal there. There's 50 guys in a line flipping down the same stretch of grass. And that was something that got them a lot more bites versus your traditional Texas rigs and jigs.
Right. So do you prefer the straight shank or the standard worm hook?
Depends what you're doing with it. Okay. Now when I'm flipping like that deeper grass, I'm an extra wide gap guy.
Okay.
That's my hook. Now there's other places you can punch with this rig. Heavy vegetation, put on 1.5 ounces, get in there, same places you'd punch a punch rig or a big Texas rig. That's when the straight shank's gonna shine a little more. That's okay. Super heavy, matted, shallow vegetation. And then the other way I fish it, it's a trick I learned from Dan Quinn, believe it or not. Fishing it like a hardhead, putting a 3/4 ounce weight on there, and going back to a biffle bug style bait or even a swim bait, and just fishing it like a hardhead, reeling it straight on the bottom. That's when I prefer the round bend, old school.
Because it holds the bait better?
I like my hooking percentage. That's more of a long cast deal where I'm throwing it way out there and I can wind into them and lean into them. And then, if I'm like deep water grass flipping, you're dealing with a little bit of bow in the line and stuff like that. I like the extra wide gap. And then when you're punching shallow vegetation, you're real tight, heavy duty, you're hammering them. That's when I prefer the straight shank. But personal preference,
if you're
a straight shank guy and love a straight shank, run that, do whatever you want with it, but that's how I use each different hook.
And personal preference is key. Just some advice for you guys, if you're not losing fish, just you've got the right hook for the application. But if you start losing fish, one of the things that I really like to do is go to the straight shank, because I think your hookup percentage oftentimes is a lot better. If you happen to be losing. But if you're not losing them, don't change the thing.
Yeah.
You said something to me, and I want to, this was maybe a year ago we were talking about this, and you were talking about punching mats, which you just mentioned, and how using a Tokyo rig, you felt like you could punch the mats with less weight.
Oh, 100%.
Than a Texas rig.
For sure.
Really? Yeah. Could you explain why you think that is?
100%. I don't know exactly how it works, but basically you flip onto the mat and your weight's below your hook. Where with a standard Texas rig, your bait all just kind of lands on the mat at once.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know mat fishing, it's that far and then you're in.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's that surface mat that's the hardest part to get through. And I feel like down here on the wire, when you just got that weight on there, boom, it goes through. And then once that's through, it pulls your bait through.
Wow.
You know, like that milfoil stuff, typically I'm fishing like a 3/8 ounce Tokyo rig, same place I would fish a 3/4 ounce jig.
Wow.
Getting the same kind of penetration. And same with mat punching, you know what I mean? You're getting some serious stuff in Florida where you need like
over an ounce and a half,
2 ounces to get in, and I've never, you can almost cut it in half, the weight that you're using to get through. But
wow.
I think there's a lot of benefits to that, especially when you get the weights that big. Like ounce plus,
mm-hmm.
seems like you lose more fish when you fish a weight that big.
Mm-hmm.
So going to a lighter weight, that's going to eliminate a lot of that. And, you know, I think fish will hang onto a bait a lot longer. You know, if you take a 3/8 ounce Texas rig and a 2 ounce Texas rig and a fish grabs it, he's going to hang onto that 3/8 ounce one a lot longer.
Right.
You have a lot more opportunity to get down tight on him and get a hook in him. And, you know, I'd much rather fish a lighter weight. I think I get more bites. I think they hold on to it longer, and I think I land a higher percentage of them. Like a 2 ounce weight, you're gonna lose some fish. Regardless.
No matter snell knot or otherwise.
Yeah, it don't matter. You're gonna
lose
some fish. They have a lot of leverage.
Yeah.
So you're taking that all away from them. And the hookup percentage on a Tokyo rig versus a Texas rig with a big weight, I think, is way better, just because.
The weight's out of the picture.
Yeah, exactly. It's straight hook. It's like setting the hook on a weightless plastic, you know, like a Senko or a Fluke or something. Like,
yeah,
you got him. There's nothing opening, bust his mouth open or anything like that. You're gonna miss very few fish.
I see that as a huge advantage, and you highlighted all the points. But and you know, triggering the strikes. You know, you have a 3/8 ounce weight underneath the mat.
Yeah.
You know, the bait's presented naturally. Now it's above the and a lot of times when we're punching, especially down here, it's a soft bottom.
Yep. So yeah, that's the other thing I've noticed about it too. A lot of the grass fishing is soft bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, muck, silt, even to some sandy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Grass will grow around rocks, but it can't grow through a rock. So, I mean, anywhere the grass is rooted, there's going to be some sort of soil. That's another thing I noticed, especially when you get into the bigger weights. When you go in and drop that bait to the bottom, you have so much pull on that into that soft bottom. You know, even a half ounce into muck is going to pull your bait down in there, cover up a lot of your bait. Sometimes you just got a little bit of the craw hanging out of the mud. And with this bait, you know, your sinker's gonna be no different. It's still gonna go down in the muck, but now you have a bait sitting above it,
mm-hmm.
plain as day, visual for the fish to see, and you know, a lot more natural.
And you still have an amazing flipping style hook that you can manage a giant fish with.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You ain't bending that thing.
Yeah, that's well, it's a pretty awesome, place to use the bait. Now you talked about DQ. Shout out to Dan Quinn from Rapala. And this hardhead type strategy where you're fishing this, I guess, up on northern lakes.
Yeah, mostly for smallmouth.
For smallmouth.
Yeah, on those like hard rocky bottoms.
Yeah.
Same places you'd throw, you know, a regular hardhead, or a lot of times we'll throw like, boot tail style swim bait on a jig head,
mm-hmm.
and just crawl them on the bottom real slow like that. And fishing it on the Tokyo rig, you're not getting hung up anymore. Like on that single jig head, you know, you're hitting a rock and it rolls, boom.
Yep.
Hook in there and you're snapping it off. That thing just straight coming through it. And it's a lot different look too, you know. You got all this chunky rock and your swim bait's kind of like down in there going through all that.
Yeah.
And on the Tokyo rig, it's kind of right where a minnow would really be, just kind of swimming along the bottom, keeping it, you know. Smallmouths are so visual predators. If your bait's like down in between the rocks, or I mean, if they're right there, they'll see it, but a fish that's 10 feet away, just getting it up a little bit and giving them a visual target to key in on really gets you a lot more. If a smallmouth can't see it, he ain't gonna eat it.
Right, right. Now, are you changing on any of this stuff? Like, What kind? Let's talk about the weight. I mean, okay. Are you using a bullet sinker, a worm weight, or what are you using?
Yeah, no, I use a flipping style sinker.
Flipping
like
style.
Like the fatter worm weight, and I go nose down.
Nose down.
Every time, yep.
Whether you're punching
or
whether
crawling.
You're crawling.
Yep. Definitely for flipping grass, you want it. It's just going to pull
right. So
much better that way, and then that's just kind of how I've always done it, so... That's how I fish the hardhead as well. But the hardhead, I fish that bait quite heavier. You know, that's a lot more like 3/4, 1 ounce.
Okay.
Just so I can, you know, I want to be able to fish it fast and keep bottom contact. It's not like flipping where it's kind of yo-yoing or whatever. That's like making a long cast. You might be fishing 15 to 25 feet of water, and I want to be able to keep that bait cruising along at a good speed where, you know, if you fish a lightweight, you're going to, it's really going to slow you down.
Or it's going to rise up off the bottom and you'll lose contact with it. And then, we have beaver style baits, we have a biffle bug, and what else were we talking about?
I throw a tube on it a lot.
And a tube on
but
it.
That's on extra wide gap.
Okay.
Like I see a lot of the guys, they'll like take a pliers and like bend a hole
all
like,
the way
hook
around.
In there.
No,
I just like, you know what I mean? Just enough for that sinker's not going to slide off, and then it's a lot more weedless because when you put a hook on there, then
now you
in
got
the grass, you're like catching it all the time. So just a little tiny bend in it.
Just
like
a little
that,
tiny bend, and it'll stay on
it.
And it's pretty awesome. The heavier weights when you're crawling, and of course I'm looking forward to seeing you use that technique because you're probably going to be using that a lot.
Cayuga,
all these
that
tournaments.
One's going to be, for sure on the end of my line.
Yeah, that'll be fun. That'll be a fun tournament to watch.
Yeah.
And boy, you've got a lot left, and hopefully we'll be seeing you at the Classic again this year. And,
yeah, hopefully.
You know, I wish you the best of luck. I want to,
thank you.
You know, guys, check out the Tokyo rig. This is from VMC, and they're available everywhere right now, but we're gonna have links to everything. We will, right underneath of us to the Bashu Tackle Shop. You can find all this stuff. And Seth, let's go, what is it? Bang some darts.
Yeah, you got it.
thanks for being with us. That's Seth Spider, Pete Kluzek, Bashu TV.
Head over to BassU.tv, the premier learning destination in bass fishing. Over 600 in-depth videos geared to help you catch more and bigger bass. Use the promo code BassULive19 for 10 days free. That's BassULive19 to get BassU TV free for 10 days. Get the Bass University Advantage today.